For the past couple of years, I've given you guys messages on the 10 virgins, the foolish and the smart ones who didn't prepare to have their oil. And when the time came for them to experience the greatness of the Lord, they were rejected for lack of preparation. The error in church is because God says it, it will be. No. All things work together. That means you got to work with him and he's got to have the opportunity to work with you. I stepped out to do this diversity thing and I began to go to all the diversity leaders around me and ask them for help. And I got lines, one-liners, but nobody helped me, really helped me. Maybe one or two people offered some help that was kind of useful, but the real help, help me, bring me in, let me sit in these meetings, let me listen to you talk, let me learn the ropes. Nope, not one. And I remember at one of the meetings saying to a few of them, in 2 years, I'm going to be bigger than all of you on this. There's talks even about them offering me a television show. You saw the magazine. Now the Black History Month with me on PBS. Then they did the whole show, Lindsay and I. Then the newspaper came by, and they, you know, that's like the daily news of that area, and they came by, and they did a whole profile and pictures and the photographer and interview, and that's coming out. And now there's this whole other opportunity where they're talking about, well, would you be this woman who's an Emmy Award winning producer out there saying, would you be willing to do something with me, like an ongoing type segment thing? And for such a time as this, I'm not here to brag about me. I'm here to say, why not you? What is it that God has put his hand on you to be that you're still flirting with, but you haven't made a commitment to? Still dreaming about it. Every now and then it comes up, you talk about it. Unbeknownst to most of you, the tech company that I started over a decade ago, Secure Technology, somebody has released it. Bloomberg's behind it. It's all over Wall Street. You know what it's called? Are you familiar with that, Rhonda? Secure, S-E-K-U-R, exactly the way we spelled it. Their software looks just like mine. Everything about it is the vision God gave me over a decade ago. Released it, spend millions, tens of millions to make it. And when people say, what are you going to do? I went to God and I said, God, what am I going to do? He said, wait, it's only worth $50 million right now. We're going to wait till it's worth up in the billions. Then we're going to have a conversation. But that's my company with tons of proof that it's mine. I told you last year that I was believing for $50 million this year. Ta-da. It's preparation, children. And it's not about the money and the wealth. It's about God getting to use you the way he wants to use you and do the great things with your life that he says he wants to do and getting you to stop getting in the way of what he wants to do. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to surrender? And are you willing to get in the gym spiritually and get beat up and buffed and trained for the moment when the moment comes? Are you going to miss your opportunity like the five foolish virgins saying, I ain't got enough oil, can I ride you? And I'm learning in this season, the answer to that is no. Where before it was, yeah, sure. No, you can ride. Yeah, when I make it, you can. No, we're going to all roll in this together. Don't wait. When I get on, you're going to be on. Well, new me, no. No, my brother, you got to get your own. I will help, but I will no longer carry. come to the game or don't. I want to leave this with you as my last Sunday here, because I need you to understand something. Pastor Richard, stand up, please. For those of you who don't know him, that's the man who ordained me. And he's, last time I saw him, it's been a good while, but literally a decade ago, this man was saying to me, you got to get out of these four walls. You got to get out of here. You got to get out of here. And I would say, you're right, amen, in Jesus' name, y'all. And I would come to church and say, you know, pastor said, it's time for me to get out of here. Glory to God. Amen. 2 years, 3 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jesus, in your time. 5 years. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. 17 years. Yes, Jesus. You. Hey, Shelly, dee 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 da 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 yabba dabba do. Hallelujah. You will make a way, Lord. And the Lord said, I don't have to make anything. I'm creator of heaven and earth. I need you to line up. I need you to prepare. I need you to be in a place so that when I open up opportunities, you can take them, seize them. What is this final year? What's the word for this year? The year of unlimited opportunities. But opportunities are not granted gifts. They're opportunities. So those of you jumping out, woo, opportunities going to come. Woo, Jesus. Okay, but what opportunity are you ready for? Because the opportunity is not given to you. It's offered to you. And then you have to take it by being prepared for it. So when God began to say to me 2 years ago, you're going to be in DEI, and I began to look up what that is and what that conversation was going to look like, I immediately began to say, what do you want me to say? And I don't think what I say is so deep, but I've been on panels with people that's been doing it for 15 years and have a double master's degree in all of this. And at the end of it, the news people are coming to me because God put an anointed word in my mouth. And I speak in parables in these Zoom meetings. I speak analogies. I speak the revelation as God gives it to me and I share it. And in those sound bites, in those moments, I'm going to play it if you're, for those of you who didn't see it or hear it. You might not be able to see it from here. Well, you probably could put it up on that screen. Can't, no, your computer's not connected, right? Well, that's all right. We'll send links later, and I'll put a mic next to it.
Mm-hmm. Diversity conversation that I'm almost numb to it.
There we go.
The bottom line is, I've been around long enough to see so much of this diversity conversation that I'm almost numb to it. The bottom line is, we should have always been here. We should have been. So now I'm saying, well, this is the first president going to be a Supreme Court female vice president. All of these kind of things that we are celebrating, they should have always been. But they are, so we take the time to enjoy, celebrate it. But I'm looking for a day when those titles are no longer an issue. First black this, first woman that. Just people qualify for the job. That's the way it should be, and hopefully one day will be.
I didn't know that that was going to wind up the PSA. Let me not get emotional. I'm begging you, stop sitting on God's gift. It's not an egg that's going to hatch under your behind. It's going to hatch when you put it out in front of you and let God handle it. Trust in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It doesn't stop there. I want to slap a pastor every time he stops there. Commit it to him, and he will bring it to pass. I give you the desire. You now give it back. And when you give it back, I don't mean loan it to him. I mean give it to him. You make it happen. Don't keep digging it up to see how the seed is doing. Give it back. We have received in the past couple of months from this magazine spread on me and all of this stuff that's happening. Lindsay's got another news broadcast or that they may do with her, we have received what people were trying to charge us, $10,000 a month and more to do our marketing and promotion. We're getting it free, and they're calling me. We haven't spent a dime. If you would align with his purpose for your life, and then get your stinking hands out of it. God gave me a word a long time ago. You heard me share it. I've coined the phrase, help not ask for his interference, especially with God. He don't need your help, but he needs your surrender. And if you spend more time preparing for what it is, because that's the true act of faith, working toward it as if it is already, and then surrendering it once you have it mastered. Build it up. If you go to school and get degrees, good for you. I didn't get one. But once you get it, and once you have it, then you release it. But I put in all these years, it's not yours. Release it. Let him do it. 63, and I'm like Caleb. I'm stronger now than I was then. Give me the hilly country. I'm ready to take mine. I'm taking it right in front of your faces. And a lot of you are half my age and more. And I'm taking it. And I'm doing it. And I'm proving it because I've learned one thing. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. In the end, the most important thing is to serve God, love God, enjoy the life he's given you, and do all the things he's called you to do. At the end of the day, nothing else is important. Vanity, all vanity, is all the wealth and the success and the wives and the husbands and the cars and the houses. Vanity, he says, useless, useless, the book starts with. Useless waste of time. He said, like chasing after the wind is the man who chases these things. They have temporary value. God has called everybody in this house to such great, great, great things. The passion on my heart for you guys to win has never faded, flickered, or gone out lightly. The desire to see you win and become everything God has called you to has never left me. I told you guys from the moment I stood up here the first time, God called me to a small house. And I said, but everybody he put around me, he's called to be great. Everybody. How long will you sit on it and wait for it to hatch? How long do you wait? I'm moving on. If me moving to Florida wasn't enough to let you know I'm moving on, I'm moving on. We gonna wait till he moves me to the Ukraine or something? It's real out here in these streets. I'm still here. We're still doing vision builders. But if you're not, you'll get on there and don't even talk. Half of you don't even get on. There's all these new people that are coming on. Do you know I just got a proposition to manage a news anchor for CBS News in Philadelphia? Would you be my manager, please? Just let me pray about it. When I call back with the answers, God is so good. She was like, it's yes, right? It's yes. I know, I'm just praying. It's yes, right? I'm so excited. I'm like, Dad, you're not even letting me answer the question. I'm like, you know, these people out here, they got more faith in the move of God than the so-called believers do. She ain't never said, I claim Jesus is Lord in my ears. I've never heard it. Maybe she has. But she knew the power of believing and preparing and being ready when the opportunity comes. I'm going to end it on this note. Spend all the time on your knees you want. Knock yourself out. Fast, pray, fast until you die. Nothing's going to come from it if you don't then get the instruction and go out and step into it and follow it. and take the chance and face it down. And when you face it down and it looks at you ugly and mean, don't control it. Give it back. God, it's not my job to fix this. I can't fix it. I already proved what I can be in life. A failure again and again and again. And all the things that I've wanted are things that I released and let go and almost gave up on. But just a fire in me said, nope, whatever you do, don't speak death to it. But get your behind out the way. Get out the way and watch what I'm going to do. Let's pray. Father, I come before you on behalf of all these folk, this family that you've given me and those watching online. And I say, let us not treat this year lightly. It's the year of great opportunity. And it's only February, and look at what you've done. 5 publications already and still going, TV shows and everything else. It's just February, Lord. And I know that you didn't anoint me with this to me not pass it on to those that are yours that you've given to me. So I release it into this room right now. I leave it in this room, and if those who are bold enough to ask for a double portion, let them take it. What joy would it be to see my children exceed above me? I release it to all those watching online. It's your time. Greatness is yours to have, but not your definition of greatness. The one he has for you is much better. I promise you, it's a lot prettier and it works a lot easier. Greatness is your destiny, not yours, his, the one he's designed for you. In Jesus' name, we receive it. No more procrastination, no more excuse making. We step into the fullness of this greatness right now in your holy name. Amen and amen. At this time, amen. You vocal with it, Denise. I love that. You speaking out like, I claim it. I see, you're not, I've always loved that about you. You speak it like just, I'm putting it in there. I'm not waiting for somebody else. I'm speaking it. You all right with me, my man, my girl, my, you know what I mean? My dude, that's universal. Angela, come on up here and share what's on your heart, my dear.
Good afternoon. I didn't write anything, but I'm just going from the heart. I'd like to just thank everybody that has been a part of JCMI from the living room, which are some of you are still here, that we started in the living room, and now we're here. But I just want to say that in these years of going forward, of learning and, you know, things going up, things going down, right, left. God's still in control. No matter where you are or what you're doing, if you continue to seek God first, all things will work out. Again, when I was thinking about just speaking, I just sat before God and I was so honored that we started with one person selling knives in the living room. Then Fontaine, then Rainey, then Merle, then, and all they're still here. So I just praise God that, you know, just for that, just looking at those years that we have been from one place to the other, one building to the other, and God has always blessed. And I was thinking of the God, in all of this, we never lacked anything. Not one bill was late. Everything that we needed was always provided. So if God is in it, he's going to provide. He's exceedingly abundantly above. Even now, it's like I look at the account and it's like he's still, even we're closing the doors, but he's still providing. Nothing's lacking. So I just thank, and it's because of you all, I just thank God that, you know, for everyone that actually ties into the ministry, that gave, that worked and honored, put their hands in it. Thanks for the crew that came in yesterday. Merle, Jeff, Sheldon, Talima, my sister, myself, getting in, got these tables cleaned and washed, and Penny. I'm sorry, Penny. Yeah, you were there. Got in and did the thing. But, you know, it's, you never know what's going on. The little people. I want to say thank you to Edwidge, because the pantry would not have volunteers if Edwidge is not every week having somebody out there. But the sad thing to say, I thank you, Edward. She hustles. I mean, even from the beginning, she hustled. And it was nice. The church did, when we first started, the church was in it. But as it dwindled down, it's sad that my outside people are the one that supports, you know, that volunteers, except for Jeff, Talima now, for the most part, Elridge, is faithful. And I just praise them every week that I say, you know, every day, every time they come in that door, I thank God for you. It's five or six or seven of them. It's one organization, but they're here every single week. And yesterday, we could not stop. I mean, could not stop. We tried to close, and people just kept coming and coming and coming. So it's a need. So you know what? Whatever God has for you, again, do it unto God, but it's a need. Make sure that you are available for the need, because that's what it's all about. God needs his people in the earth doing it, not waiting for somebody else. So when the need is there, then, you know, go for it. And then do it unto God. Don't sloppily do it, you know. Some people come in here and they just sloppily do stuff. I'm like, okay, for real? I mean, you see something on the floor and it's like, But anyway, but I just thank God for each and every one of you for the time from 1996 up to now, that you all been such a blessing, and may God bless each and every one of you.
And I double that. Thank you all. Thank you all. Thank you all. Okay, so I'm going to call up people. Be brief, but led by the Spirit. Amen. Esther, I want to talk a little bit about her as she prepares to come. Esther's been with us almost from the beginning herself. And she, remember, she came to me, and I like to acknowledge her for this, because God used Esther to open the doors to who I am today. Esther came to me and said, I want to be an actress, and I want to go to Broadway. And she was already in her 30s, and I was like, I know what the system says. Come on and stand next to me while I'm talking about you so people can see you. See your pretty face. Take the mask off and stand right there so people look at you. And she said, you know, you're supposed to be my manager. And I was like, yeah, I don't know nothing about Broadway. I know a little bit about acting. And I prayed, and God said, yeah, you're going to do it. You're a manager. And we fought a lot. And but we stuck in the plan, and there was a lot of training and a lot of conversation. And we made it in 7 years. We made it to Broadway. The number that God gave us, 7 years, we made it to Broadway. Got a Tony nomination. Won it. And you got started getting articles and everything, too, just to see. And I'm following you now. And so I just want to let my daughter share her heart. And here you go.
Thank you. So I was a little I wasn't sure what to say. I was like, God, what do I say? What do I say? What do I say? And this morning, thank you, Micah. This morning, the word that came to mind was, I am grateful. So I started to pray and write down what God had me pray. I'm going to make it, 3 to 5 minutes? All right, let's go. I wrote it down, so I'm going to read from this paper. I am grateful. I'm grateful for JCMI. I'm grateful for Pastor. I'm grateful for you guys. I'm grateful for what I've learned while I was here. I grew up here. I learned a lot. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to express myself, which a lot of you know that that's not necessarily something that I was comfortable doing, but I'm doing it right now. I've learned that God's plan is greater, bigger, and better than mine in numerous occasions. I've learned that when you say bye to a crappy job, a much greater, better one comes along every time. Every time. I learned that in relationships that I've been in, that I deserve better, that I'm better than that. I've learned how to be a better friend, still growing in that, but better than I was. And that's thanks to God, and thanks you, Pastor, for putting up with me. Right? I've learned to stand up for myself. I'll say it again, and I wrote it again. I've learned to stand up for myself. I've learned what I will put up with and what I will not put up with. I've learned what's worth fighting for and what's not that serious. I've learned there is value in the gifts God has given me and to not let people take advantage of it. I've learned to ask for what I want and get it. I am grateful. I've learned to be a better person. I've grown up here. I've had to do a lot of growing up here. I've learned that things don't always have to go my way. I've learned that I don't always have to put my 2 cents in everything. I've learned and am learning to be still so that I can hear God better and I can see what God wants me to see a bit better. I'm excited to see what this year of unlimited opportunities will bring. It's already started, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for JCMI. I'm grateful for all of you. I'm grateful for Pastor Diamond Brown, for your guidance, your leadership, your transparency. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for investing in us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for looking out for all of us for all of these years. I am truly grateful. God bless Joshua and Caleb Ministries Incorporated. Bless our steps. Guide us, Lord God, to where it is you are leading us outside of these four walls. God, use us for your glory. Help us love your people. Help us bring more people, guide more people into your kingdom to salvation. Use us, Lord, for your glory. Thank you in advance for using us. Thank you in advance for all of the lives that will be saved through this ministry, getting out of these four walls, I repeat. Thank you for this global ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And can I just say one thing? Well done, Pastor. Well done.
Aww. Thank you, Mommy. Amen. She actually literally wrote it out. That's your award speech. Right? Praise God. Wow. Nelly? Now, as Nelly comes, let me talk about Nelly. Nelly is the reason that I look like this. She taught me how to eat vegan. Come stand over here. Let people see your cute face, too. She's my partner in the beauty salon. You didn't know that, Pastor Rich, but there's a salon back there. Come on back there and see it. Go on, look at it. This whole thing is going to be that. God told me that when somebody just called me up out of the blue and said, this is another situation. She came to me and said, God told me to ask you to invest in me in my salon. I was like, No, he didn't. She said, yeah, you know, God, no, I don't want to have nothing to do with no salon. No, he didn't. Yeah, well, you know, she prayed it in. And there's a story I like to give, real quick story, but it's true. I remember when George Foreman and Holyfield were going to have this bout for the champion, heavyweight champion of the world. How many of you saw that fight? That was a fight. I mean, it was a fight. But these are both professed men of God, Christians. And they were talking about how hard George hits, but he's old. He's old. And Holyfield hits hard, and he's young. And they asked Holyfield in an interview, do you think he's going to be an easy win? Because, you know, he's in his 40, late 40 or 45, 46 at the time. And Holyfield says something that stuck with me and became a part of my mantra and my walk in God. And I want you to hear these words. He said, I'm not going to sleep on that man. He's filled with the Holy Spirit just like me. This is going to come down to who wants it more. Never forgot that. It's going to come down to who wants it more. God starts speaking to me, and you'll remember me saying to you when I was 300 pounds, I need you in CEO shape. Remember that? He kept saying, I want you in CEO shape. I struggled with it. I tried all kind of diets, all kind of stuff. It didn't work. He brings this hairdresser that wants me to be a partner. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen. God said, yes, it is. A couple of weeks later, I'm speaking to one of my friends. I said, didn't you say somebody talked to you about a salon? Yeah. Look, I just had to evict somebody from my house, and we got a whole salon in the basement. Do you want to come and get all the equipment? And we did. And as God, I was trying to find a storage place. He said, put it in your basement. I'm like, no, I don't want to put it in the basement. But it's over in PA. I just got to put it in the basement. And as I obeyed him and put the stuff down in the basement, me and Kwame, as I was coming up the stairs, tired and exhausted, he flashed a vision in front of my face that this whole area was a salon, and I saw it. And I went, wow. So when it came time, when the pandemic hit, and the place she was renting her chair shut down, she had no place to do business, God said, put a chair right there where you're sitting, sis. Put one chair right there and let her be able to keep working. And while she was there diligently working to first responders and whoever needed to come get their hair done, I went in the conference room, and God said, gut the conference room, turn it into a salon. High blood pressure hit me, passed out. She said, God told me I got to teach you how to eat right. I was like, okay, good luck with that. I've tried that for many years. And she taught me the vegan lifestyle. I stand before you to fit on my way to being fitter. Sexy, never mind. And but my point is, I had to do the work too. I had to do the preparation, I had to do the work, and I had to change my spirit about how I looked at food and how I looked at fat. And God is doing things. And I won't keep talking about that because I don't want to mess up whatever she may want to share. But I just want to tell you how the relationship begun. Amen.
Amen. I'm just going to talk about, like, why God brought me here, and I see it now, that when I came to this church,
God brought me here to sit me down because I was so busy doing so much, running all over the place and getting nowhere, not accomplishing anything. And he sat me down and called me to a place of rest so that he could build my character and teach me how to receive from a place where I can get it from God giving it to me versus me having to work so hard in my own flesh. There is a work that you're going to do, but it should be a plan. Like, let God give you the plan and let him show you how you should work, not just going crazy and working in stress and anxiety. Because when I came here, I got delivered from fear, worry, and anxiety. Those are the three demonic spirits that were coming against me. And when I came here, I got delivered instantly. And God said, I want you to just be still. And he started showing me that I needed to get delivered from myself, my thoughts, my plans, and let God have his way and teach me what it means to really be a dead man in God's presence and be still. Kind of like how he laid Abraham down, and it wasn't until Abraham was like dead on his face and like out before God can actually begin to work. And after I lived upstairs, then that's when I got my apartment and I was able to get a car and things started happening for me. So this season here at JCMI was like a rebirthing. And I'm so thankful that he brought me here at this time during this season, right before the close, because I came here in 2017 and he told me that I'm going to put you on a crash course. And that crash course is a crash course to die to yourself, and let me show you how to win. And you take your position, but your position is to sit down and your position is to wait. And I thank God for that. And in this season, I'm learning and he's teaching me. And all of these messages are sound messages. They're very profound. And each and every one of them have changed my life and they have changed everyone in here's life as well. And we are literally embarking on a new season. We have a new calling. We have a torch. We have a flame. And we're going forward to be whom God has called us to be, fiercely and rejoicing in the Lord. So that's all I have to share. I'm just so thankful to be a part of the JCMI family and for what God is doing in my life and everyone in here's life as well. Amen.
So, just a side note. When she came to me and said, "Would you be my partner?" and I asked her to put out her P&L, she was $50,000 in debt. She said, "You know, I just need $10,000. And you know me, I'm a businessman. I'm like, then you're $60,000 in debt because you're not going to be able to give me my money back and you're still going to be $50,000 in debt. I'm not going to do it." I said, "But here's what I will do. I want you to listen to me real close." I said, "If you do exactly what I say for a year, still in her debt, still in her problems, I didn't offer a dime. But I'm going to give you counsel. I'm going to give you instruction. And if you follow that instruction, you do exactly what I tell you to do. Same thing that God had me do with Esther. And like I said, after Esther, I had a confidence. Oh, I could do anything. Doggone it, give me anything." He said, "All right, here's a salon." I said, "If you do what I say, then in a year, I'll invest in you." Within a year, that $50,000 was gone. Totally gone to debt, and didn't have to pay a penny out. Well, we had to pay a little out of pocket. But for the most part, I knew how to maneuver the business and make moves to clear it up. Was it a year? Was it a year? Yeah, in a year, the debt was gone. We were starting off fresh. Everything that she knew how to do had to be lost. Another phrase that I've coined by the Spirit of God: learning is easy. Unlearning is the difficult part. It's the unlearning. Don't take the new wine and put it in old wineskins. It'll burst and spill out on the ground. God said to me years ago, I've called you to be a genius. You are a genius in your spirit. And I began confessing it. I am. And whatever I choose to do, I do. This is your time. Whether you take it or not, it's not my problem. I ain't pastor after this week. We're going to still have our Zooms, our Sunday Zooms, but listen, some of you might feel you need to go find another church home to fellowship, and don't. I will not take it personal at all. But here we are. This is the moment of truth. The anointing is in this room. I hope you can feel it. Come on, Sister Dre, and bless us with what God gave you. Our first ministry family to go forward.
Good afternoon, everyone. Wow. I jot down some things, too, because I was a person that didn't believe you had to be in church to have a relationship with God. And I met a lot of people like that, too, and so I felt justified in that belief. But then things changed in my life, and not for the good. And I started questioning that belief. And I understood that there was a lot of void. And before I go into what my mom and pops in this house has brought to my life, I just want you to understand that I'm the oldest of seven brothers and sisters. We were just a bunch of kids all over the place. We really needed guidance and didn't have a dad in the house. I didn't know what a dad was supposed to do for children, aside from just having them. And so I didn't understand the church family because I still wasn't sound in my family. So trying to come under something while I'm totally lost in what is common to me was difficult. And so when I think of Promised Land, and even the name, it just has so much hope in it. It drew me. We were drawn because it was so much promise to receive and things I thought was a pipe dream was real here. I found a father in Pastor Diamond. I met him as Uncle Boo Boo. But he was my husband's pops. And he became my pops. And I learned to see what a man that is a father does for his children. And I realized everyone needs to have this. No one should go without this. And the fact that I didn't have it for so long, I felt robbed. I was angry. But then I found hope in this house. I found faith that I didn't know I had. I found love with people that weren't my blood. And it spoke volumes. To my spirit. I remember several lessons that I learned that will always be with me wherever I go. And I still to this very day, when I review my life and I think about things, I always preface it with these things. And these are some of the messages that stayed with me, Pops. And one of them was, God is for me. And not against me. I think that's the first message that I heard came out of my dad's mouth. And I kept thinking, why would I think God isn't for me? And then I realized, yeah, I did think that. I did think that God wasn't on my side. I did think that everything that went wrong in my life was God punishing me. But I didn't realize that that's how I saw God. And through the revelation of this house, I learned to filter God in the right lens. I learned to see him the way he rightfully deserved to be seen. And I couldn't have gotten there without this ministry. I couldn't have seen God the way God deserves to be seen without the truth that is spoken in this house. Another valuable ministry or message that you ministered, and that was, a car parked can't be steered. And I felt, damn, if I'm not that car, and I don't know how to get in drive. But Pops, Sunday after Sunday, ministered, poured out his heart, poured out his revelation, poured out his falls, his failings, his success. He poured it out. He laid it out for all of us to see, and he held nothing back. And that kind of conviction, that kind of commitment, I could get under that. I was here to stay because I knew God is for me now, and he wants what's best for me. And so every time I thought about God not being for me, or every time something didn't go the way we wanted it to, I remembered that. All right, Dre, God is for you. All right, let's consider your ways. Where did I get off course? And it's kept me, Pops. It's kept us, Pops. The last thing of another word was, be thankful to God for the prayers he didn't answer. I say that because, oh my God, you, hindsight, right? You think back on some of the things you wanted, some of the things you thought you couldn't live without, and you like, whoa. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for your foresight. I prayed for my father to return. And God, that was not God's plan, because had that man returned into my life, I would not be the woman that I was today and that I am today and that I will be tomorrow. It is because of this ministry, under this covering, because of the covenant in this house, through this man and his leadership and commitment to our God, I found my voice. But I found it in promised land. I found my truth. And I realized that I was deceived for so long. That I believed that a woman needs to be vocal all the time, or she won't be seen, or she won't be heard. I believed for so long that unless I speak up, I'm going to be trampled on, stepped on, misused, and abused. But then God gave me a mighty man of God that needed a woman to understand a strength in a way that I wasn't taught in this world. But he had a covenant relationship under this ministry. And he said, no woman is going to rule me. And I never wanted to rule my husband. I didn't even know what that meant. But there's an anointing on this ministry to raise men, to build them up, and to teach women in a way that the world doesn't teach us, saints. And that is, there is power in submission. There is power in silence. And I learned to be silent. But it was a different kind of silence. It was a Holy Spirit, God-given grace of silence. That I watched my mom, Mama Angela, with her poise, her presence, her temperance. She, by just watching, not talking, I watched how she maneuvered her role here in this ministry. I watched how she engaged with my pops. I watch how she engaged with her children. And I said, wow, she's not too vocal. And I don't know if I could get with that. But there's something special about the way she moves. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to be silent. That was hard for me. I'm very outspoken. But by the grace of God and his anointing, that silence didn't bring me shame that I thought it would. It brought me honor. And I didn't have to speak up loud. And now my husband and I, when we engage, it's a beautiful thing. I don't have to be heard being argumentative. I learned that here. That will carry me years from now. That there's a way to be heard, that God ushers you before people, that doesn't require you to have a foghorn. You don't have to be the loudest person in the room to be heard or to be seen. You just got to understand where you stand. And I understand my position. And it's beside my husband, and it is with this ministry and the covenant that we are under. All those promises, Pops. You are so... I never met anyone like Pastor Diamond. I never met anyone like Pastor Diamond. He speaks the truth unapologetically. And I love you for that. I didn't always. But you learn to appreciate the rubs in life because the people that are rubbing you the hardest are the ones that love you the most. Amen. The last thing I want to say. I know I'm little, but I just gotta get in front of you right now. Jesus crucified, rose from the dead so that we will be saved. But what does that salvation really mean? When he did that, he brought us from far out in the left field right before the throne of God. And what I want you to take from whatever I said today, take this. Christ gave us access. He gave us access to the Father in a way nothing else in this world will ever give you. And that's where you need to be. You, this ministry, Mom, you gave us access, Pops. You gave us access to your life, to your failures, to your successes, to everything, to your teachings. You gave us access. You never held anything back. Because you wanted the best for us. Christ said, I'll go. I'll leave. I'll take on flesh. Because I want to give them access to you because you're so good. You are a good, good Father. And I want to say today, I'm grateful. Grateful for the access. Grateful for the fact that you love us the way you do. God bless Promised Land.
Baby, that was really good. Wow, that's some powerful stuff to hear somebody say about me. You know, that's a lot. It's a lot to take in. I want to encourage you and warn you that is a long time coming, but that's a reward for that kind of obedience. The other side of it is the ridicule. Because I'm so open, people have slandered me. They have taken the stuff and tried to use it against me and pull me down. People have, you understand what I'm saying? The backlash of that is people will take that openness that you give and try to use it against you. However, I stand here today, 63 years young, stronger than I was before, and tell you, it don't make a difference what they try to do with it, what God will do with it in the end. He said in the end, it will speak and it won't lie. The vision will speak. It has a voice. It doesn't need you to define it. It can speak for itself. And I'm telling you right now, everything that's happening in my life right now, pow, 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 God keeps saying to me, it's because of the years that you didn't flinch when they kicked you in the nuts, when they spit in your face, when they didn't accept the good you did, when they had something negative to say about you for doing good, when they tried to take your vulnerabilities and turn them against you, God said, I take the foolish things to confound the wise. And there's not a man in this room or anywhere in this world right now that can stop the things that God is doing in my life. And he is doing it in spades, baby. And I'm telling you this, I'm a different person right now. My energy, my who I am, what I am, I don't need your compliments. I don't need your approval. Even though she said some beautiful things about me, if she said the total opposite, my reaction would be the same. Praise God. You know, however it works for you. And that's a place to be. When you get to the place where the compliments are great, but you don't need them. I need to know that God is happy with me. And what I heard from your words is God is happy with me the way I treated you. And that is worth more than any money, anything in the world anybody could ever give me. So thank you for sharing that. Come on, Mr. Richardson, my son in the Lord, and come on and bless me. I want to talk about my boy. The love I have for him. Wow. He calls me Pop, and such an honor from him. I'm going to give you a little backstory. I don't know why, but I know during the time when I was a young kid, what, about 12, 13, I ran away from home and wound up in the system. And they put me to live with my big sis, Rainey. And Rainey had just had him. So he was a toddler. And I remember that time feeling alone and feeling, you know, abused by my stepfather and emotionally abused in the home. And just, you know, I'm not going to dog out the family. It was some stuff that just wasn't right. And most of us left with some angst that we had to be healed from. But while I was living there with my big sister and he was there, he was an innocent little boy, little kid. Couldn't even talk yet, but for some reason he loved me so much. And I never had love like that. You know, that love of a little child is something else. And whenever I came in the room to his crib, he jumped up and pulled himself on the floor and just smiled. He was so happy to see me. And at that moment, I needed to know that somebody loved me. You know, and it was that love of a child. As he got older enough to, you know, go out and stuff, I would come to my sister and say, can I keep him? Can I take him with me for the weekend? I didn't think of it as a big deal then. As I got older, I realized you were 14, 15 years old. Who wants to babysit voluntarily and for free? You know? And she would, but she trusted me even as a 15-year-old to take her child and keep him, not just spend the night and feed him and, you know, and dress him and take him out with me and go places on the train and down to the parks and wherever we went. And I thought about that as I got older, like, wow, my mind must have been pretty mature for my big sister to be comfortable let me taking her child, her firstborn child. And I took care of him. And that love that I feel when I see him has never changed, even though you have kids. And I'm grateful to my big sis. I'm grateful to God, even we didn't know God back then, for putting me there, knowing what I would need. And so when he calls me Pop, to me, is legitimate. And I will say, as a son, you've never dishonored me, not one time. And I'm grateful for you.
Love you. Hey, Pops, you know, you're dope in my book. It's just a lie. It's a lie. It's, you know, I don't want to stand, I don't know how many other folks, you know, we have and don't want to stand in between you and Emil. So I'll try to be as... I'll try to be as concise as I possibly can. You know, so as I'm listening to Pop, you know, I heard a few things that, you know, caught my attention. 5 publications, 50 million, You know, Nelly, I heard 2017 to today, you know, I napkin math, that's 5 years, 50K in debt that the Holy Spirit of God supernaturally, you know, dealt with. You know, church, it's five, I didn't realize this until sitting down, it's 5 days removed from my birthday, and this is going to be my 50th, you know, year. And so I'm listening, and amen. Hopefully my beard doesn't look crazy with the mask, you know. So I don't want to have a you know, mask beard or beard mask or whatever the right way to say it is. And so I'm sitting there, and it hits my spirit because we assign value to numbers, right? It's just the nature of numbers. It's numbers of language. And we do it because God assigns value to numbers. And five, there's spiritual significance associated with five, and that significance is the message that five unpacks is a message of grace. And so, you know, you look at the fifth book of the New Covenant, it's the book of Acts. And so it's in the fifth book that Saul is introduced to us, and he is a destroyer of the church. And so, you know, the story, you know, Saul on the way to Damascus, and who the Spirit of the Lord sends to Saul to lay hands on him, to set the stage for his ministry is Ananias. And his name is essentially translated, you know, gift of grace, or the Lord is gracious, right? And so God sends to Saul this man who name he embodies, you know, grace to send or cut loose on the world the herald of grace itself, right? You know, you read the writings of Paul, and he starts with, you know, grace and peace, you know, time and time again, which is a very dynamic and powerful statement. And so, you know, when you're exposed to the extraordinary, you know, just again and again and again, you know, unfortunately, it can become rather ordinary at times, right? And so this is why the Spirit of the Lord said to Abram, come out your tent and look at the stars. And we were talking about the stars in the heavens on the drive, you know, down. And so it wasn't until I was 10 years old that I knew that there were stars in the sky. Because, you know, back then, at that time, you had incinerators, right? And so they would burn trash in the city. And then you had, you know, the light pollution, right? So air pollution, light pollution, you literally, growing up as a kid, you didn't see stars in the sky. And so I go off to camp, and for the first time in my life, I looked up, and the heavens were decorated with stars. And so the adults, you know, who were there with me, they were awed by my awe, just looking at the heavens and just taking note of the stars. And so I say that to make the point that the extraordinary, which the heavens and the stars are, can be ordinary, you know, by just consistent exposure. And God created a moment with Abraham when he said, come out and take tally of it, which of course he could not do. And so I want to create a moment for you by, you know, unpacking grace, because again, it is just tremendously powerful. You know, I've said this in this house several times. I've said it many times out of this house. You know, just the scripture that embodies grace perhaps the most to me is Paul when he said, you know, I've done more than all the rest, because he felt the need to justify his ministry because he was a destroyer of the church. And the Holy Spirit taps him on the shoulder and he goes, but not I, but the grace of God working within me. And so Paul's message was a message of grace, of course, in principle, but just Paul himself was the package of grace presented to us by the Spirit of God, that he would take a destroyer and use this destroyer to be the most prolific prophet in the new covenant, come on now, and to help birth the church, not to the Jewish world, but to the Gentiles, many of whom were people without God. That's the message of grace being showcased. And so you dig into, you know, five, you see, you know, it was in Noah's 500th year that, you know, he had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so in grace, you know, there's restoration, there's renewal, right? Because we understand that civilization, you know, would occur during the flood, but it was repopulated. And it was in his 500th year that God set the stage, you know, for it. I think about grace. Here God is birthing a nation. And as we, you know, look at that experience, the nation was birthed during the course of five books, right? And so it's you think about the five books of scripture, it wasn't until the sixth book that we have someone's name born in scripture, and that's Joshua, right? Joshua, and Joshua is Jesus. And it's just powerful how grace sets the stage, if you're following me, was five books before the appearance of man. The sixth book of Scripture is the book of Yahshua. And so, you know, here we have in Scripture, it wasn't until the fifth day that God spoke abundance in the course of creation. It was on the fifth day that he said, you know, multiply, right? And it's day six that man comes. And so just how grace sets the stage. You know, I think about it's the day of what? Pentecost, that God aligns man's tongue and language with the heavens, right? After the Tower of Babel, when what happened, right? There was a confusion that was laid upon the land, but God brings man back under alignment on the day of Pentecost, my 50th year coming up, you know, this Friday. 50 is, you know, every 50 years, the year of Jubilee. My youngest, her name, you know, is Jubilee. So, and it's not Scripture alone, church. You know, you look at the heavens itself, the fifth planet from the sun is Jupiter. And if you don't notice, you know, Jupiter is the big brother, the big sister, you know, for planet Earth. Why? Because of its size, right? The Earth can fit in that little red dot that looks like a little red dot on Jupiter, but it's not. The Earth can, multiple planet Earths can fit in that dot. And so what Jupiter does, because of its density and gravity, it draws stuff to it that if it wasn't there, would hit the Earth. And so it acts as a covering. And so we see, you know, just covering and just the number five. Again, God assigns value to numbers. And so, you know, in saying that, I think about this house. This house was the grace of God for me, you know, caught, right? You know, Acts 20, you know, I believe it's 20:32. I commend you to God, the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, give you an inheritance amongst all those who are sanctified. This is where I caught the word of God. This is where I caught the grace of God. And so I've said it to this house before. I was saved in Bethel Gospel Assembly, but this is where I got born again. It was in this house and under this ministry. And so as I think about that process and experience, you know, with God's grace and catching his word and catching his grace, it was interesting because this was an anointed house. And so I'm a minister in this place, and I'm standing beside Pop, and there's just tremendous things that are unfolding. And so when I think about the house, you know, this has been like my parents' home after I moved out, and they brought another place. And so it still is my house when I came to visit, but it's not the house I grew up in, right? And so I grew up in, you know, 72nd Street. I grew up in, where was it, 38th Street, the second place we moved in Manhattan. So that's where I grew, and I remember it fondly. Just, you know, we were small for so long, and it was okay. It was good. We were faithful with it. And so Mom mentioned, you know, Queens. My family and I, we went to, you know, show support and show up in Queens. And Pops, I remember we're leaving. He said, hey, you know, if it's the Lord moves you, you know, come back. And so, I took that to be a soft invite. And I said to myself, you know, just respectfully, that's not going to happen, because we was in a good church. And it was, the church was in what formerly was a school building. So really large, you know, 1,000-plus person church established. It was a good church. And I had no intent on leaving until, you know, one Sunday I head in for whatever reason, which was not common. Dre stayed home that Sunday. And so whenever I arrived for service, the usher would bring us down to where we sat, and it was right in the front. And this Sunday, and it was odd, she, you know, motions to take me to where I always sat. And I said, no, I'll sit here today. And it was in the back of the church. And so as I sat down, I'm just in myself perplexed. Like, why did I sit here? This is not where I sit. That's my seat in the front. And so I just felt this wrestle in my spirit with whether or not, you know, we should go to, you know, this living room in Queens, because I couldn't bring myself to say a church. It felt like a living room in Queens. And I was wrestling with it, and the answer was no. And so I'm sitting there in the back of Bethel Gospel Assembly, and, you know, I'm not someone who, hey, I had a vision, right? You don't hear me say that. a lot, but I had a vision in a church, and I saw this hand reach into a classroom that was upstairs, and it was a classroom that I taught and just started to teach. I was so new in the kingdom, Sunday school, and that was interesting. And then I saw the hand reach, and this is why I was in back of the church, the sanctuary, reach over where we sat Sunday after Sunday. And babe, you remember this, right? And so then that hand reached over Queens and opened up and stuff fell. And so in that moment, I understood what it was, right? It, the grace and the gifts, the Holy Spirit was saying to me, it's no longer here. It's now there. And so I said to my wife, I said, we're out. And she just, it took her a minute to catch it. She's like, I don't understand. I didn't understand either until that moment. And so we, you know, decency and order, went and met with that pastor, shared the vision, what was on my heart. And he asked us one question. Do they open up the scripture and nothing else? Yes. He said, God bless you. If you feel like you have to come back at some point, do so. We never came back. This is where I caught the word and the grace of God. And so, you know, Pops, watching you move, just in the anointing, in the prophetic, the gifts, you know, of the Spirit, even, you know, very similar today and with respects to what you're sharing and unpacking and how it challenges, it provokes. And I'm reminded of those moments growing up, 72nd, 38th, because I would listen to these things and be awed by it. And along with the awe, there was always a voice that welled up in me and said, you know, God's not a respecter of persons, but that's not the way the voice sounded in me. The voice sounded more so like, well, me too. If God is doing that for him, that, you know, God is not a respecter of persons. You know, I'm going to see my, you know, manifestation of the Spirit as well. And so I remember church watching Pops just move again in the prophetic and just, all right, you know, Lord, if I'm called to ministry, I don't want to be a minister of cliches. If that's the case, I don't want to minister, right? Because I've had that experience in church where, you know, there's a deep and pressing, you know, question and challenge in the heart, and you reach out for counsel and you get a cliche. I didn't want to be a minister of cliches. I wanted, Lord, your Spirit, your presence, your anointing. And so when the Holy Spirit began to move on me, because I'm watching it how Pop moved in the Holy Ghost, and I, you know, I remember this one moment, Pops, and there's so many of them, but there's two that I'll highlight for the church. One is this sister came, and the Holy Spirit had you know, lay hands on her, and I'm standing there beside you, and there's others, and the presence of the Holy Ghost is strong, the anointing is flowing, and you have hands on her, and you're ministering to her, and it was one of those moments where you had to say to the church, hey, you know, be patient, be still, don't disturb the Spirit, because the Lord was taking a long time with this sister. It really stood out. And what you were saying in so many words, you know, was, or what was happening in the Holy Ghost, is she was being cleansed of just, you know, so many fourth, you know, prophetic moves in her life and stuff that was spoken over her and had her so weighed down and so confused. And the Spirit and presence of God was getting in her, was on her, and just, you know, cleaning all that stuff out. And you know, the Holy Spirit was done, and, you know, you turned to me and you said, you know, son, what do you have for her? And I'm like, I don't want to speak over this sister. Now, after that, I don't want to say a word. And I'm like, shoot, man. But you talk about opportunity, and opportunity is just that. It's an opportunity, so what do you do with it? You know, do you shy away and miss it, or do you, you know, step into it? So I took the mic, and my knees, you know, right? They I'm sure were trembling, and I don't know if the church noticed it. And so the last thing I was going to do in my mind was speak something that was generic or cliche, because that word that she just received. And I'm there in my spirit. All right, Holy Spirit, then this has to be very, very clear, very pointed, targeted. And so I give it a word that was in my spirit. And there was an individual described in detail and just unpacked it. And so, right, you just, all right, leave it alone and turn the mic back over to Pops and it's done, right? But I had to ask her, do you know who the Spirit is describing? right? So church, she just got this word about the force, prophetic, and God and what he's doing. And so I put the mic to her face, and she said, I don't know. And it was like, where do you go from here? What do you do with that? And it was like, okay. And so that's one of the things I caught in this house. It was go for it despite what the outcome appears to be in the natural. And you said something to me, which was, you know, if you preach to change your life, you'll never preach a bad message, right? And so I just, the lesson from the life of Saul, you know, Saul lost his course, Saul lost his place, he lost the kingdom because he was so caught up in what the folks thought, right? And that robbed him of who and what he should have been. And so, you know, left it alone. It was months later that a sister came to me, and she said, hey, Pastor, almost forgot. Service was over. She said, remember that girl that you spoke over and you said, A.B.? She said, I was with her the other day. And that guy, by detail, how you described him, he showed up. And she said, I said to her, why you said you didn't know that's him? She said, Pastor, she was lying. She knew who it was. So church, that was delivered to me. That wasn't given to the church, though. And so everyone who was in the house that day who heard me ask her, do you know who this was, right? They didn't get that insight. That was just for me and not to be brought to them. You follow what I'm saying? I the grace of God, I can't tell you, and I'll wrap on this. I can't tell you how many times in the beginning when Pops began to travel, I would, and it was announced to the church, I was ministering that Sunday, half of the church wouldn't show up. And this went on. And as they showed up, they would, you know, sit and yawn, and I'm, God, am I really supposed to be here? Am I really supposed to be doing this? And I remember the first time the anointing fell on me was at a funeral, Pops, it was Grandma's. And the anointing fell on me. It was so powerful, so tremendous. The experience, it was tangible, the substance of God. It was obvious. I knew nothing about the kingdom. These intercessors come to me after the end of just the service, and they say, I don't know what God has called you to, but that was unreal. And it was great. And I felt like I was chasing that every time I stood before the folks thereafter and never caught it and learned in the course of this experience, it wasn't to be caught. What are you doing it for? You know, are you doing it for the adulation of the folks? Are you doing it for the feelings, the emotional high? Or are you doing it because this is where God grace called and purposed for you to be? And if that's the case, then move forward accordingly. And so that has kept me, I can't tell you how many times, you know, within the four walls context of church or outside, you know, those experiences. And so, you know, net, this is where the grace of God was caught in my life. And I'll turn it to you, Pops, on this note. And so interesting, you know, Dre, babe, to hear you say park car, right? Because just professionally what I do, there was a process being rolled out this past week. X number of leaders in the business were doing so. And it's interesting when God takes the ignoble and makes it noble, you know, what's not honorable and bestows honor upon it, because I used to be the ignoble and without honor. And so I'm on this call, and it's not my process to deliver it. But one of the leaders, knowing I was on call, said, hey, can you jump on camera and just, you know, just honor to have you here, just greet the folks, which I did. And someone had positioned a question in the chat, and the question challenged the folks who were delivering the content. They didn't have a good answer for it, and it was creating, you know, speaking of energy, some disruption in the core, and I saw them struggling a bit with it, right? It was derailing the meeting, and I was off the camera at this moment. I jumped back on camera, and I said, hey, if I can weigh in and address this, and they were happy to have someone weigh in because just, it's absolutely, go ahead. And I said, listen, a parked car can't be steered, and I said some more stuff, right? So... Mom, you know, Pops, love you. Just the order that's in my household, the grace that's in my life, just the move of God I was able to, you know, catch, and more importantly, when I've missed the mark, you know, Pops, you being transparent, right? That transparency, you know, just was a breath of sobriety, so that when I missed the mark, my faith wasn't derailed because you shared, you know, your moments and experiences, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I'm so incredibly fortunate, you know, just so incredibly fortunate that God would graft me into, you know, everything that this church was and will continue to be. And listen, this is not lost to me, House. This is the 8th Sunday of the year. And it's on day 8, right, that the male child was to be circumcised. And so the Spirit of God, knowing that this wasn't for men alone, right, this was a foreshadow of what was to come, because the true circumcision is by the hand of Christ and with the heart of man. And so it's not, you know, by coincidence that there's a sun setting on the 8th, you know, Sunday, because there's increase that comes out of that cut, right? So, you know, as God is closing the door, and I love this about the things of God, Jesus isn't just the Alpha, right? And we think, you know, we even call a company startups, right? We talk about how to begin a thing, but we don't talk about how to wrap a thing. He occupies not just the office of Alpha, but the office of Omega as well, right? And so, you know, church, you don't know what you have until you're forced to step out and exercise and use it. And Pops, we spoke recently about me leaving the house at the first time and realizing there was no toothpaste in the bathroom, right? Because mom wasn't there, right? I had to go get it myself. And so when you're out on your own, it forces you to draw from things that have been sown and established and deposited for some years over years over years. So church, you're going to be all right. You're going to be just fine. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man. I told him, I said, you're a scientist. You know, he starts breaking it down. He gets down to the foundations of the earth and how the core moves within. So listen. As he said, we don't get between you and your meal. All right? I want you to eat. I want to say thank you all for your love, for your care. Those of you who stayed with me, and those of you who are going with me to the next area or level of ministry, which is, you know, when speaking engagements open up again, God said I will be doing that, which he's doing already with me through the DEI, but we'll be building through the social media and through the Zooms. Take this with you. I'll never stop ministering. That's what I'm called to be. It's a different format now in which it'll be done. And Vision Builders is about to explode in some very crazy, crazy ways right now. And God said to me, you know, you got to build content and, you know, post content. And I was like, okay, well, I have to, you know, start getting on the camera and doing this. You know, I'm not really crazy about that. And he said, what are you talking about? Just hire a curator. You have over 20 years worth of content, video and audio, online and in your archives. Just have somebody that sifts through that and keep posting for you every day, and you have all the postings you need. You just get on a live every now and then and have a conversation, and you're good to go. And he said, and this is what I mean about preparation. When you didn't even realize I was preparing you, I was preparing you. So I'm saying to you to wrap up, and Pastor Richard, I'm going to have you come up here and pray with us, please. I'm saying this to you. What's in your hands? Samuel Jackson said, what's in your wallet? Because God has prepared you even when you were running. God has been preparing you with experiences and situations even when you chose the worst and the negative. It's there. So I'm going to leave you with this. Gather up the fragments that nothing be wasted. All of the stuff, even the stuff you didn't do right, is usable if you put it in God's hands. I'm going to say that one more time. All of the stuff, even the stuff you didn't use right, is useful. And I'll give you a scriptural example. Presumptuous Peter, always stepping out of line. Jesus had to say to him, "Get behind me, Satan." Cut the man's ear off. Denied him 3 times. Yet, all of that preparation, when it became time for him to step out in ministry, made him profound and powerful, that he can walk down the street and his shadow coming off of him was so powerful that people got healed just because he walked down the roadway. See, all of the error even, God uses it in preparation for your greatness. So I can stand here today and I could be open and upfront about my shortcomings, and people could mock me for them when they wanted to, but God has brought it all back. And what do? I stand in front of corporations, and while everybody's giving them numbers and statistics and saying the right, you know, DEI stuff you're supposed to say, I stand in front of them and say, "You guys don't really want diversity. You're just trying to create a black corner and check a box. You're not serious. And don't waste my time. I don't need your money." See, and that is why people are calling me. That's why people are talking to me, because I'm gonna give you some real black diversity if you want to talk about it. I'm not gonna give you check marks. Okay? I'm gonna call you out. I'm gonna say you don't really care. And this is the thing. This is my gift. And God said, don't ever let anybody take that from you. When I go into these meetings, I get on these Zooms, I tick people off. Tick them off, because they want to play the game. So even your mistakes, or even the things you think people don't like about you, God will take that foolish thing and confound the wise. Stop shunning your gifts. Stop hating your personality. Stop despising who you are. Stop looking at yourself compared to somebody else's degree, because all these people that I'm dealing with got degrees and everything, but God's using me. And he's using you. Amen. Count what's in your glass. Look at what's in your hand. And stop despising who you are. And stop focusing on what you don't have. And start coming to God with what you do have. You can't offer what you don't have. You offer what you do have. And when you start to appreciate even the junk you do have, to quote Brother Merle's one of his favorite lines, "One man's trash is another man's treasure." If you let your trash be your treasure, God can use it. Pastor Rich, come on over here, brother, and just bless us a little, pray for the food, and let's bring it on home.
So before I got the message to come today, 2 days before, the Lord had me pray for him. We haven't spoken in a long time. And God does this. This is how we met. I was coming home, and the Lord gave me a download in the spirit. And I really didn't know him. I really didn't know him. And that began our journey. And I want to share with you something that's very important. This is his graduation day. See, sometimes we don't realize that the things he's preaching at you, he's living before God. And so his service here was his testing ground. He can't keep doing this because his graduation level will not allow him to. This is not a run out. This is a graduation. And sometimes when you graduate, you have to leave that other level behind. Lord have mercy. You got to leave that other level behind. It's not a runaway. It's a run to. So whether he's saying, "Oh, I want to do this, or I want to do that," which is not him, because he'll debate with God and say, "Okay, well, what do you want, though?" You understand? And that's the realness that God wants from us. I'm coming. I get the message. And the Lord says to me, "Throw this Bible on him." And in the beginning of this Bible, the Lord gave me this little word. Very simple. "I love you and thank you for saying yes to God." See, some of you go way back. But when we met, This was a seed vision inside of him. And as we spoke, the Joshua and Caleb anointing to say, no matter what's in the land, we're going because we're going with God. Because no matter what's there, that's our land.
Yes.
And that anointing, he's been sowing. No matter what the giants look like, if the promised land that God said is yours, go take it with God. That's the anointing on his life. And like parent, like child, it's in you. So this season is not a waste at all. Are you hearing me? It's not a waste at all. Stir what is in you. Stir what. That's why he keeps trying to tell you, don't sit on it no more. Stir what is in you. The anointing is there. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Father, I use this as a symbol to put on him the word for the next season. That, Father, there's a move of the Spirit for the next season. And he, as he is, he's already in it. He's already in it. Father, many of these people don't know that he left the world and the pathways of success to serve you. And you're giving the world back to him. You're giving the world back to him for him to shape it. Hallelujah. And all you needed to know all these years was, would he lay it down? Would he lay it down and just do what you told him? And year after year, you would stir. Something's coming. He said, but God, until this is finished. And Father, here he is now. It's graduation day. And Father, that's why you wanted me here. Because our journey began. And now we release him into the new season. We release him officially in the name of Jesus into the new. Come here, brother. Come here. Hallelujah. We release him. Y'all on camera. You do it too. You pray with us. We release him into the new season in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Y'all folks who are feeling sad or feeling this or feeling that, anybody, release him. Release him. He's a dad with grown children. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. He's a dad with grown children. And he will always see you as his children. So as grown children, release him. Release him. Release him. He don't have to raise you anymore. Release him. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We lay hands on him. We place this Bible on, we lay hands on him in the name of Jesus for the new season, for the season of emergence, for the season of shaping, for the season of destiny, that he's going to do exactly what you told him to do. He's going to take the land for you. He's going to take the land, and you told him, leave the world of fame for me. And now you're giving him the world of fame back because he will go for you. He will go with you. So we thank you. And Father, as people meal today, let them celebrate today, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let them rejoice today in the name of Jesus that the job was well done. That the job was well done. Hallelujah. That the testimony say it. That the experiences say it. The job was well done. And he can look back at this and say, Father, thank you. Thank you. You are true to your word. Hallelujah. Those who are faithful with and in the little, much shall come. Hallelujah. And it is graduation day. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, Pops, and what the Holy Spirit just dropped in my spirit, he said, you know, don't apologize for the table that he's called you to eat from. Right. And he said, you know, men will call you arrogant, but they don't understand the anointing. The same men, if Jesus stood before him, before them, they would say he was a jerk. He said, your heart is tender before me, and it'll remain in that place. Eat comfortably at the table I've set before you. Eat comfortably. Eat comfortably.
Hallelujah.